Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles out and go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 13. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 13. Tonight, I want to talk to you about voices that guide our lives. Many voices in our lives that guide us, things that speak into our lives. And I thought it'd be a great way to start off the year by talking about some of the voices that guide our lives. There was a man who was an executive at a large company, and he was making really good money. And so he decided to take his wife on a vacation, do something special for her. He's going to take her back to her hometown. And they were going to travel across America by car and go back to her hometown and see her family and kind of see where she grew up, have some memories together. And so he drove her all the way across the United States. And as they're coming into town, her hometown, he realized that he was out of gas. And she really had to go, you know, to the restroom. And so she said, "Oh, well, there's a service center right on the edge of town. Just pull right in there right when we get into town." And so as they're pulling into the service center, he pulls right up to the gas station pump. And it's one of those old style pumps where they still have attendants that are working at the gas station that run out and they wash your windshield for you and pump the gas for you, that sort of a thing. So as he pulls in, the attendant is walking out because he saw him coming up. And so his wife gets out of the car and starts to head towards the restroom. And all of a sudden, she looks at the man that's walking up, and she says, "Billy, oh my goodness, Billy, I can't believe it's you. It is so good to see you after all these years." She gives him a big, strong hug, to where the man, her husband, was like, "Whoa, who's Billy?" You know what I mean? Like, just kind of sat up and took notice all of a sudden. She's hugging this guy. And so she starts talking to him, and you know, the man was just kind of sitting there like, "Do I get out? Do I introduce myself? What's going on here?" You know, and it was kind of beyond the awkward moment, so he just stayed there. You know, he just sat there still in the driver's seat. And so after a while, his wife says, "Well, I'm going to run in and use the restroom." So she runs off. Billy comes over. "Hi, sir, how you doing?" And he kind of smiles and waves and, you know, like checking the guy out, what's he doing, you know. And he starts cleaning the windshield, and he pumps the gas. And after he's all done, he cleans everything up real nice, puts the gas cap back on, and windshield's all looking good. And you know, so he pays him, and his wife comes out from the restroom. "Billy, so good to see you. I just can't believe it after all these years." Gives him another hug, big strong hug, and holds on a little bit long this time. And so she jumps in the car, and the man is sitting there, and he's just beside himself. And so as they're driving off towards her parents' house, he says, "So are you gonna tell me who Billy is?" And she smiles and kind of blushes. "Oh my goodness, I am so sorry. I should have introduced you. Billy was an old friend." Well, Billy was an old boyfriend of mine. Let's be honest. Let's be real. And it was kind of serious. And we were engaged. You know, we were headed towards marriage. But you know what? It just wasn't the right thing. And we both agreed that we were just going to separate, and nothing ever came of it. But honey, I married you. It's good. It's fine. Well, the man sat back after a moment. He goes, "Oh, okay. So if you would have married Billy, you'd have been married to a gas station attendant today." And she says, "Dear, that's so sweet. But if I would have married Billy, he would have been the executive today." Anybody remember what we're talking about tonight? We're talking about voices that guide our lives. I thank God for a godly woman who speaks into my life. People speak into our lives all the time, don't they? I mean, think about it. You've got parents that spoke into your lives at an early age. Some of you, that was a good thing. Some of you are what you are today because you had encouragement from your mother or your father. But then there are others of you who struggled because the voices guided your life in the wrong direction from an early age. Some of us, it was our siblings. Some of us, it was kids on the schoolyard. As we grew, it was our teachers, or maybe it was a guidance counselor that told you that you were going to be able to do it. You could go to college. You could go further than your family had ever gone before. Maybe that same guidance counselor spoke into your life and said, "You're not good enough to do it. You don't have the grades," and it destroyed you and devastated your heart. Maybe as you grew up, it was a sergeant in the army, or maybe it was a coworker, or maybe it was a boss that started talking to you and encouraging you and pumping you up. Maybe you had a boss that said, "Why are you working for me? You should be out doing this, working for yourself." And they really encouraged you to start that business. Or maybe you had a boss that told you, "You're good for nothing. You're going to be working for me at minimum wage for the rest of your life." And to this day, you've allowed that word to guide your lives. Very important that we understand that many people, there's many voices around us that can guide our lives, and we can either allow them to guide us to the right places, or if we're not careful, they will guide us to the wrong places. We have the ability to choose which voices we surround ourselves with. Did you know that? We have the ability to choose which voices we're going to listen to. That's one of the great things I love about the Word of God, is God tells us, choose. You make the choice. You decide. You can have an amazing, wonderful, awesome life, or you can have a discouraged life, a down and out life. You can have a life that you just kind of fumble around and hopefully you make it. It's all in our hands. We get to choose. And if we surround ourselves with the right voices, oh, come on, you got to hear this tonight. If we surround ourselves with the right voices, then it's going to take us up in life. But if we surround ourselves with the wrong voices, then it's going to drag us down in our lives. I was reading after one man of God who said that there are voices from the basements and voices from the balconies. The basement's voices beckon us to go down to their level. But the balcony voices call us up to a higher level. I wonder if anybody can relate with that. You got some voices from the basement and some voices from the balcony, and you're kind of deciding which staircase to take. And maybe at 2019, at the onset, you're at a crossroads and you're looking at your life and you're in the middle, you're kind of on the mezzanine floor, maybe you're on a plateau and you're kind of wondering which direction to go. Let this word tonight be a balcony voice that calls you up higher in the new year, that calls you up higher in life. See, not just at the start of the year, but all throughout your life, we have to choose which voices we allow in and which voices we keep out. Is anybody listening to the voice from the balcony tonight? So let's start with this. What voices are trying to bring you down? What voices are trying to bring you down? If you're taking notes, write that down and give yourself some space. Because I would encourage you later on to take some time and to pray about that and to ask the Lord, is there any voices in my life that are trying to bring me down? Voices that I don't need to be listening to. Well, let's take a look at some of the voices that would try and bring us down, some of those basement voices. How about this one? Wicked or foolish men. Oftentimes you see that the fool ends up in wickedness. Now, wickedness or evil, as you see it in the Bible, is anything that's contrary to the will and the way of God. So if it's not God's word, if it's not God's will, if it's not God's way, that would be considered evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay? Everybody tracking? Everybody on the same page? I had you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13. And I want you to take a look at verse number 20 with me. Look at what it says. It says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. But look at the rest of the verse. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, I'm going to ask a very simple question. This is not a trick question, but I want you to understand how easy this is. How many of you in this place would raise your hand and say, I want to be destroyed? Thankfully, no one raised their hand, all right? Maybe a couple of people who might qualify in the latter part of that verse, all right? But here's the deal, is that if we want to be destroyed, if you want to go down the tubes, you can choose what voices you listen to, right? Just find the fools. Find the people that their life isn't going anywhere. Find the people that aren't doing anything with their lives and allow them to tell you how to do life, right? Find somebody who's never owned a business, who isn't making any money, who has no savings, no savings plan, people who are indebted, and ask them for some financial advice, right? Anybody gonna do that? No. Go find somebody who's wealthy, someone who's killing it at their business, right? Go find somebody who's doing great and ask them, how did you do that? What kind of hustle do you have? Tell me what's going on behind the scenes of how you made it to the place where you're at. Find somebody who's up ahead of where you're at. Find a godly person. Find somebody who has some wisdom. You know, one of the things that makes me sad is oftentimes I hear in our culture, this is not necessarily indicative of the church, but oftentimes in our culture, I hear people put down older people. Oh, they're just old and senile. They don't know what they're talking about. Listen, the people that have gray hair, they earned that. Right? And some of us gave it to them. Hello. They earned it. And the Bible says it is a crown of righteousness. When somebody walks in with a crown, usually they're royalty, right? And so when they come in the room, you need to stand up at attention and listen to what they have to say. Why? Because they've been there. They've done that. They've been around the block. They know some things about some things. Hello, they've made the mistakes and they know how to avoid them and they can shine some light on the path for you. A companion of fools will be destroyed. No one wants to be destroyed. But he who walks with the wise will himself be wise. See, it's all in who we allow to speak into our lives. Also, in the earlier Proverbs, it says not to consent to go with evil men when they entice you, when they ask you to go with them to rob someone or to murder someone. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. If someone asked me to do that, I would not do that. But think about it in this way. Many times they're not asking you to go and murder somebody, okay? But maybe they're asking you to go talk to them about someone at the water cooler or at the coffee pot, and they just hate that person. I hate what he does. Don't you hate what they do? And Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart, right? It says, do not consent to go with them. If you find yourself in the middle of a gossip sesh, it's time to cut that thing off and stop it. You know what I mean? If you find yourself, somebody saying, hey, come over here and look at this joke, and it's a dirty joke. Listen, don't consent to go with them. Don't lie in wait. Don't sit down with them. That's what the Bible's really talking about. Remember, there was a time my wife and I, we were working at a store in Bible college. We were making, you know, the bills, making ends meet. And so we were in Bible college a day and working at the store at night. And it was one of those big box warehouse stores. I loved working there. It was like a no-brainer job for me. You know what I mean? I'd ride a forklift. I'd front shelves. And then I'd leave work and go home and go to bed and not have to worry about anything. It was one of those jobs I could just turn my brain off and go, right? And so my wife, though, she had a harder job than I did at that time because her job was all dealing with the membership stuff. You know, and so she would have people coming and doing returns. She had people in their Sunday best throwing stuff at her. Why, you need to take this back, you know? And so she came and told me about that. We had some fun with that one on a Sunday afternoon. But I remember there was a time where she had some friends, and these friends were fellow students, some of them people that considered themselves to be strong Christians, you know, and we thought we could talk word with them and that sort of a thing. And so being Bible college students, we always had the word on our minds because that was really what we were being fed every day, every morning, every night, all the time. You know what I mean? We were reading our books on breaks and all that kind of stuff. And so it was just who we are, and it continues to be who we are. And so she had a friend that was a Christian that was working up at the front desk with her at the membership desk. And there was a time where the friend asked her, she said, hey, you know what? I need to do a return, and I don't have time to wait, you know, after work today. So can I just go ahead and do my return on your drawer? Well, that was a big no-no. All right? You never would do your own return on someone else's drawer, because if you stole money out of that, or if you did something funky, then it was on that other person. And so my wife was like, no, I can't do that. That's against the rules. I could get in trouble for that. She said, it's not a big deal. Just let me do my return on your drawer. And she says, I'm not going to let you do that, because that's on me. If anything happens to this drawer and they find out that I did your return on this drawer during work hours, we're both in trouble and I can't lose this job. I need this job. She got so mad. I don't understand why you won't just let me do this. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to defraud you. I'm not going to steal anything from the company. I just don't have time after work to do this return. Let me do the return. And my wife said, plain and simple, if you keep asking me, I'm going to go talk to one of the managers. Just back off, right? Now, my wife's a pistol. If you know her, she's just blunt and in your face. And so I don't think she had any problem telling her no. You know, like, it ain't going to happen, girl. Get up on out of here. This girl got so mad that after work, she called her boyfriend. Her boyfriend came down to the store. We were on our break. We were in the break room eating our lunch, and he came in and stood over our table. Now, the awesome thing was there was a couple of guys. One of them, remember I talked about the old men? One of them was in his 70s. One of them was 95 years old. We called him Old Mick, right? And Old Mick used to tell us stories. He said, it used to be you didn't want to eat squirrel. You weren't going to eat. I thought, that's crazy. You know, we went to Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so that was a very real thing for them at that time, you know? And he worked there not because he needed the work, but because he wanted to keep moving so he could stay alive. And so Old Mick and this other guy, Frank, who was in his 70s, they both stood up and said, is there a problem here? I was like, yes, come on, man. I would love to see this go down right now, you know? But I thought, no, guys, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And so I stood up to this guy, and next thing I know, the manager's in there throwing the guy out and all this kind of stuff. And it was a big deal. And this girl called my wife and raged on her on the phone. And it was like, I remember my wife just took the phone like this and just was like, are you kidding me right now? And across the room, I could hear this girl screaming. I was like, honey, just this one right here, just do this. And she's like, no, you know, trying to be the good Christian and all that sort of a thing. But she wouldn't do it. She would not consent to do evil with someone else. Why? That was a voice that could have taken her down. That was a voice from the basement that sounded like somebody who was well-meaning. Oh, it's okay, we're Christians, go ahead and do this with me. And yet she said, no, I'm not going to do it. good scripture for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. If you struggle with other people in your life that, you know, every time you get around them, you find yourself doing the wrong thing, I need you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. Do not be deceived. You know why the Bible says that? It says that we can be deceived. That means you don't even know that bad things are going to happen. You just kind of walk into the wrong thing. So the Bible says, do not be deceived. Look at what it says. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, notice something. There are good habits that you could have in your life. Good habits are things like church attendance. That's a good thing to have as a habit in your life. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus as his custom was. It talks about the disciples that at the hour of prayer, they were headed up to the temple. They were doing that because why? It was the hour of prayer. That's what we do at this time, right? That's not a bad thing. That's not like something that is wrong when you wake up in the morning and you go to prayer, read your Bible, or, you know, any of those things. Where you pray before a meal. None of that stuff is bad if you routinely do that thing. Why? Because if your heart's in it, then praise God. It'll keep you with God, because how many of you know we tend to drift? Those voices can drag us away. So, but look at what it says, do not be deceived. Those good habits can be corrupted. How? Through evil company. Through the people that we hang around. You ever heard birds of a feather flock together, right? And if you hang around the mud hole long enough, you'll eventually fall in or slip in. Right? If you get around the wrong people, you're going to end up doing the wrong things. That's what the word says. I didn't say that, guys. So do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals or good habits. There was a young man by the name of Rehoboam in the Bible that we find that was hanging out with his dad's advisors. Now, his dad was a guy by the name of Solomon. Some of you guys know Solomon, right? At the time, he was the wisest man who had ever walked on the face of the earth, because when he prayed, he asked God not for gold, not for silver, not for long life, not for riches or wealth or fame or any of those things. He asked God for wisdom. And God said, I'm going to give you wisdom, and with wisdom, I'm going to give you the long life. I'm going to give you victory over your enemies. I'm going to give you the gold and the silver. He was the wealthiest king. He expanded the borders of Israel. He was the wisest king. People came from miles and miles away to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. This young man, Rehoboam, was Solomon's son. So he had a daddy who had a lot of wisdom that he was raised up under. But then when he became king in his father's place, he had his father's advisors. Now stop right there and think about this for a minute. The wisest man that ever walked the planet up until that point had advisors. What kind of guys are giving advice to the wisest man that ever walked the planet? Are you listening? So here he is surrounded by his father's advisors, and he has a decision to make. The people come to him and they say, hey, Rehoboam, lighten the load. Your father, he ran us hard. But lighten the load, it's too much. Now, his father's advisor said, hey, if you lighten the load, the people will serve you forever. So he goes and he says, okay. But then he goes to his friends and he says, what do you guys think? His friends say, are you kidding me? Are you going to be a wimp? Now, this is the modern day paraphrase. He said, nah, tell him my little pinky finger is wider than my dad's waist. Don't lighten the load on him. He chastened you with whips. I'm going to chasten you with scourges or scorpions. So Rehoboam goes back to the people and answers them by the way that his friends wanted him to answer them. Remember, we're talking about good habits are corrupted. How? By evil company. So here are these young men who are steering him in the wrong direction. He rejects and forsakes the wisdom of his father's advisors, the people who gave advice to the wisest man up until that point who had ever lived. He rejects their wisdom and he goes with the people who are his age, who act like him, who he wants to be cool and hang out with, that sort of a thing. In our lives, we need to be careful that we don't allow the wrong voices in, because that literally cost him the kingdom. Half of the kingdom split apart from him. At that point, he went out to fight against him, and the only thing that stopped him was a prophet that came up and said, no, this thing's of the Lord, let it go. And he let it go, but he lost half of the kingdom because he wouldn't listen to the right voices, those upstairs voices. But he went with the voices that dragged him down. What are some other voices trying to bring you down? How about this one? Your past. Right? I heard a little bit of a groan in there. Yeah. You know, our past oftentimes is a voice that comes back to us that tells us, you're not worthy to be doing that right now. You should be ashamed and you shouldn't be happy. You shouldn't have any joy. Why should you have any success with how bad you've been? Right? Your past can be a voice that drags you down. But the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, God has taken your sin and cast it away from you. Now you are white as snow standing before him. Don't let your past come up and tell you how life should be. Don't let it drag you down. How about this one? Your appetites, the flesh. Did you know that your flesh has a voice? Just try and fast something, right? We started a fast in January. My goodness, you just try and fast something. Try and fast one meal. Don't eat one meal. Oh my goodness, your stomach will tell you it's dying. Anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you guys fast social media, that sort of a thing, and it's like all you can do, your hand is itchy. I need my phone in my hand to see what's going on. I need to see what they're having for lunch right now because I'm not eating lunch either. But your appetites have a voice, and oftentimes the voice of the flesh will be that voice that drags you down. I was reading Fellowship with our staff, and there was a great quote from Pastor Jim, when we get hungry, the battle changes. Isn't that a good thought? When there's a desire, when there's an appetite that's added onto our life, you could be just fine, but all of a sudden you get hungry and now the world is not okay, right? You get hungry, you get hangry. You know what that is? That's when you're hungry and angry at the same time. You get hangry. Now all of a sudden the battle changes, doesn't it? Whereas you would have been just fine. Somebody comes up to you eating some popcorn or something like that. And you're like, can you just get out of my face? The battle changes. Why? Because there's a voice speaking into your life trying to drag you down. It's the same thing with a drug addiction. Same thing with a sexual addiction. Same thing when it comes to those desires that we know are ungodly. The moment you have an appetite in your flesh that starts to rise, the battle changes. How about this voice? The world around you. Do you know that the world around you can shape your life and guide you to the wrong places? Groupthink and mob mentalities and that sort of a thing. Why do we even think the way that we think sometimes? Well, because everybody else thinks that way, right? Or because that's the way this political party thinks. Or maybe that's the way we were educated because that's the people that we hang around with. Or this class of people thinks this way, so we think that way. And we slip right in to the way that the world thinks without even knowing about it. You know, I liken it to, have you guys heard about this? The square watermelons that they're making in Japan. Anybody heard about that? I got a picture of one up on the overheads behind me. Look at that thing. Okay, they're creating square watermelons in Japan. Now, the reason why they first started these is because it fit better in the refrigerator. That's the real thing. I read it on the internet, so it must be true, okay? But now it's sort of a novelty thing because they really don't taste all that good. And so fruit given to another person, especially in the Japanese culture, is a beautiful thing. And so they started creating these, and now these things cost over $100 to buy one of these watermelons that's shaped in a square. Now, the way that they create these things is not by a special seed. It's not by a special process. All they do is they plant a seed, normal seed. They allow it to grow, but then as it starts to get the right size, they put it inside of an acrylic box. There's a mold that they put it inside, and as it grows, but it never matures. It never fully develops as a watermelon. It presses up against the sides, and while it's still tender and while it's still undeveloped, that's when they take it off and they put it in the stores to sell. One of the reviews about these said that it has the essence of watermelon. It tastes like watermelon, only a weaker flavor. I wonder if the world around us that's pressing us into its mold is giving us a false identity and a false life that looks like life. It kind of has the essence of life. It tastes a little bit like life, but it's not as strong and as potent as life really could be if we lived it the way God wanted us to live it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in the Voice paraphrase says this, do not allow this world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you'll be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. See, the world's motivation is an external motivation. But God's motivation is an internal motivation. The world's motivation is dragging you down by pressing on you and forming you and molding you by what you see on the outside and the exterior. But God wants to reshape your life from the inside out, and he wants you to grow mature and strong and healthy and have a full strength, potent life. Can anybody say amen to that tonight? one more voice that would try and bring you down that we all need to understand is that we live in a spiritual world. We live in a natural physical world, but the spiritual world is the reality that's unseen. And there are demonic voices, there are spirits that are oftentimes speaking lies and falsehoods. And that's what the devil deals in, is hints and suggestions and different things. You'll find it that the devil was the one that put it in the heart of David to number the people. Satan did that. You'll find that it was Satan who entered into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. Don't think that the devil's not doing things. Don't think that the devil's not working. Don't think that there are not demonic and satanic spirits that will shoot those fiery darts, those little thoughts. You should go over there and check that out when you don't need to be over there checking nothing out. Shoot a little thought, wow, she was really friendly, or boy, that guy's really nice, not like your husband. Don't think those thoughts are from God. Hey, if you just had a little bit more, if you just skipped out on your routines, if you just missed a little bit of church, you could work a little bit more. See, oftentimes they're just hints. They're so subtle because the devil is a snake, and he comes in slithering, quiet, and he says, as God said? And he starts to question the word, and those demonic spirits are voices that can bring you down. Tonight, let's take a look at what voices are trying to lift you up. Those are the basement voices. Let's take a look at the balcony voice. I like to end on a high note. Don't you like to end on a high note, right? Don't you like to end up, right? So what voices are trying to lift you up? Well, there's a bunch of voices in our life. We already mentioned some of the voices that can be good voices in our life. From an early age, your parents can be a voice that lifts you up. Maybe you don't have good parents, that sort of thing. Maybe you never had your parents in your life. That's okay. You can have mentors or people in your life that are teachers. People, the Bible calls them, you have many teachers in the Word, but not many fathers, right? So maybe there's somebody that's a spiritual parent to you. Maybe there's a man or a woman in your life in the church that has just taken you under their wing and said, hey, you know what? I want to encourage you. Hey, do you understand everything you're reading in the Bible? Let me help you to understand, because someone taught me these things at a young age, and I want to teach you about this. So maybe that's your mom and dad. Maybe that was your parents. Maybe that wasn't. But these are voices that can often lift you up. I had the privilege of having a dad who I felt was a just wise and godly man. He didn't do everything right, but my goodness, I just love my dad. Dad's an awesome man. He goes to this church. He serves at our FDC. In fact, he gets up at like 3 a.m. every Tuesday and Thursday morning to come down here to open up the doors, to start the coffee, and he helps out. And I just love the fact that he's involved in our outreaches. But all through my life, man, I could ask my dad any Bible question. He was like my Bible encyclopedia. He had a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. I remember as a teenager being up late talking to him about the Bible, and I remember him just amazing me with some of the stuff that he knew from the Word that I hadn't yet discovered. And so there was a time where I had a decision to make, and I was just 16 years old. And it was a formative time in my life. I had just made the decision to follow Jesus the year before. And so here I was talking to my dad, and I'm asking him, what should I do? You know, I need to make this decision. It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me money. You know, what would you do, Dad? What do you think I should do? And I remember my dad looked at me and he said, there comes a time in every man's life where his parents can't tell him what to do. He's got to hear the voice of God in prayer and decide for himself what he's going to do. Now, I walked away from that encounter with my father, and a couple things stuck out to me. Number one, it was the very first time I ever remember my dad calling me a man. And it called something out on the inside of me. Fathers, you need to know the power of your words. Mothers, you need to know the power of your words. Maybe you don't have a man in your house, but you can still speak things and you can raise someone up by calling out purpose and destiny and life and faith and health and strength and wisdom and direction. You have the power. You have the ability. Even aunties and uncles, even friends, co-workers, you guys have so much power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat of its fruit. And so I remember my dad had called, and I remember 16 years old, my dad just called me a man. Whoa, I got to change the way I view life right now. I got to come up. It was one of those moments in my life that I was being called up to the balcony, and I went up in my thinking. But I remember what else stuck with me was the fact that he trusted my ability to hear from God and to make the right choice. That's a pretty scary thing for a young man. And yet, I've always had that instilled in me that, you know what? I can do it. I don't need to rely on someone else. I can hear God's voice myself. And in my life, that formed my walk as a Christian from that point on. Because why? Because I had somebody, a mentor, a father, my dad, who spoke to me and said, there comes a time in every man's life when he can pray and hear the voice of God and make a decision for himself. And from that point on, I knew I've got what I need to do. It was one of those moments for me. Mentors and parents, you have great power. In the Word of God, we find that Moses, right? Moses talked to God face to face. Yes? Moses would come out of the presence of God radiant. The glory of God was on him so much so that he was actually, you know, kind of ashamed because the people would be staring at Moses as he went by because the dude's glowing. Look at him over there, you know? And so he started to put a veil over his face. This guy talked to God. He had a special relationship with God. The Bible calls him the meekest man on the earth. Wow, that meant that he was so humble, so submissive, that he just listened to what God says. And yet, Moses, when they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they came out, went back to go and get his wife and his children, because he sent Zipporah, his wife, and his two sons back to his father-in-law, Jethro. Now, Jethro was a godly man. He was a priest. And Jethro took Moses in for 40 years out there in the desert, gave him a job, helped him out. And so Moses was going back, and so he greets his father-in-law, and they have a meal together, and they share stories, and they rejoice together, and Jethro blesses God, and they sacrifice together, and then the next morning, Moses got to go back to work. So Moses goes out, and there he is with the children of Israel, there he is with the nation, he's sitting down, and he's listening to people all day long, and Jethro's just sitting back there watching, going, what is this boy doing? And as Jethro's watching, Moses is just talking to people all day, listening to what's going on in their lives and listening to their problems and telling them what God says about that. And this is what God would have you to do. And this is what God says. And this is what God wants you to do. And all day long, this is going on. And finally, Jethro pulled him and said, Moses, what you're doing isn't right. You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out if you keep this up. You can't run at this pace that long. Now, remember, we're talking about Moses, who spoke to God face to face. We're talking about mentors and people that speak into our lives. Moses had the ability to hear from God. And yet it took a Jethro, a father-in-law, to pull him aside and to say, I see what's going on in your life. And if you don't change, you're on burnout road. And so Jethro said, now heed my voice. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to appoint some leaders, captains over thousands, over hundreds, over tens. And then you judge the weighty matters. The big stuff comes to you, but the little stuff, you know, send that to those leaders of thousands. They can handle that stuff. If it's too hard for them, they'll go to the leaders of the hundreds, and the leaders of the hundreds can handle it. If it's too hard for them, then the leaders of tens, and if the leaders of tens can't figure it out, then it comes to you. You should be doing what's most important, which is following God, hearing his voice, interceding on behalf of these people, doing what you do, Moses. You need to be the leader, and you can't do that if you're constantly involved in every little thing around here with all these people. Now, I want you to look at one statement from Exodus chapter number 18. Exodus chapter number 18. Look at verse number 23, second book of the Bible, right after Genesis, you'll find Exodus. Exodus chapter number 18. If you want to read the whole story, you can read it in Exodus 18, 13 through 23. But I just want to read verse number 23 to you tonight. Jethro finishes talking to Moses. He tells him what he would have him to do. And he says, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure and all this people will also go to their place in peace. You know what he just said? He said, if you listen to me, and if this is what God is telling you to do. In other words, I'm an upstairs voice. I'm calling you up, but there is a higher power even over me. That's been one of the things that I appreciate about our founding pastors is that they've come to me with things, and they've said, Dan, listen, you can take this or not. This is what we see. This is what we think. And if God has you to do it, you do it. Oh my goodness, that has been such a blessing to me in taking on the transition of this church, because if I had upstairs voices that have said, hey, we see this, we're calling you up, but only do this if God tells you to do this. That's one of the neat things about upstairs voices is they got no problem letting you know, hey, I've got some good advice for you, but you do what God tells you to do. What a comfort, what a blessing that is, amen? How about some other upstairs voices? How about our pastors, our teachers, right? The people that feed us the word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. I'm just going to put it up on the overheads for time's sake. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. I'm blessed that I've had two pastors in my life, and both of them go to this church. What a neat thing that is. What a privilege that is for me. But these men, I've watched their lives, the women that have gone before me. I remember when I first started coming to The Rock, there was a lot of different pastors that were here, and now we've had some turnover. But I remember Pastor Keener, old lady that had been a part of the Foursquare denomination. What a wonderful woman of God. I listened to her words, and I watched her life, and I watched her at the end of her life go to be with the Lord in peace. Pastor Sherm Smith, who's now gone on to be with the Lord. My goodness, what a mighty man of God. I remember talking to him about hospital visits. I remember listening to him cry and quote old hymns as he taught the word of God. Oh my goodness. Listen to Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, listening to other pastors even around me. Pastor Joel has spoken in my life. Dr. Powell has spoken in my life. All of our pastors on staff is such a neat thing that we can receive from men and women of God, our teachers, our pastors, our leaders. And the Bible says, watch their lives, follow their faith because they're giving you the word of God. These are upstairs voices. And realize that a real pastor, a real shepherd, somebody who really has a heart is a heart for people. And the pastor that's preaching the word of God to you, they're not just preaching down to you. They want the best for your life. They're saying, come on, you can do this. Come on, you can go. Come on. Hey, let's get going with this. They're an upstairs voice calling you up to the balcony because there's a better view up there. Here's some other ones. Believers and the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, right? I saw a Peanuts cartoon that showed Peppermint Patty talking to Charlie Brown. She says, guess what, Chuck? First day of school, and I got sent to the principal's office. It was all your fault, Chuck. He says, "Why? How is it all my fault? What did I do? Why are you always blaming everything on me?" And she says, "Well, Chuck, you're my friend, aren't you? You should have been a better influence on me." You just love that Peppermint Patty. She's a pistol. My goodness, I think I might have married her sister. Praise God. But we should be a better influence, shouldn't we, on other believers? Shouldn't we be voices to other people in church that when we come into church and we see somebody down or discouraged, we should say, hey, can I pray with you? Hey, can I encourage you? Hey, can I lift you up? This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad. And the Bible says, stir one another up towards love and good deeds. We all in this place ought to be upstairs voices that are calling people up higher every time we get around someone. And the Bible gives us ample examples of the great cloud of witnesses, the men and women of God, the believers that have gone before us, examples for our life. 3 John verse number 11 says in the Message paraphrase, friend, don't go along with evil, model the good. The New King James says, imitate that which is good. The person who does good does God's work. The person who does evil falsifies God, doesn't know the first thing about God. We ought to be imitators of Christ, the Bible tells us. And our lives should speak, come on up. The view is great up here. Come on up. This is where life really starts to work. The last upstairs voice is the greatest, best, most wonderful upstairs voice that all of us could have, and that's Jesus himself, the Word of God. Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, is still speaking to us today. He's guiding the church. He's giving us the direction for life. And all of us, all of you in this place, have the ability to hear God's voice and to follow him every day of your life. Your first breath every morning should be, good morning, Holy Spirit. Your first thought should be, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, for your servant hears. Oh my goodness, as you open the word, there should be an anticipation in your heart that God is going to speak to my life. He's going to give me direction. He's going to give me wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. I can have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ available to me. I can receive direction from God. And now I can be wiser than even Solomon was. Why? Because the greater one lives within me. John chapter 10, verse number 4 and 5, and I'll conclude with this. Jesus is speaking, and he's telling a parable to the people that they didn't really understand, but now we understand it. It says in John chapter 10, verse 4 and verse number 5, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. The voices that guide our lives. There are voices that will call you up and voices that will drag you down. Voices from the balconies and voices from the basements. It's your call. It's your choice. What voice are you going to follow? I don't know about you, but let's follow the voice of God. Let's follow those upstairs voices that are calling us up. Amen? God is good. Going to be a great year as the voice of God directs and leads our lives.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.